Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. So we had Chris Russo on Mad Dog Sports Radio here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max a little while ago, and listen to the end of the segment between Key and Chris.
All right, Chris.
I appreciate it. And the two of you, Jay, you were a great player. And Keyshawn, I know sometimes you get mad at me. I'll tell you one thing. You were.
I don't get mad at you. I got mad at you in 1996 because you were screaming at me on the first interview and I had to hang up.
Is that true? Was I really?
Jeez. Yes, you were.
It's a little belated, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry. A little belated, though.
Yeah, no, in 96, so I was holding out for the Jets. And you know, they're. At the time, what was it, Max? It was Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Mike and the Mad Dog. And so I went on to an interview as I was holding out, and I signed with the Jets, so I went on the interview. I was the first person, you know, first interview I had in New York City, blah, 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 blah. And so they asked me to come on. I go on, and literally I get like one word. I'm like, yeah, you know, and they start just screaming at me back and forward. That one guy hits me in the left ear. The other one hits me in the right. Why would you hold out? I don't understand. You're the number one pick. You should have took the money. And I finally said, say, man, do me a favor. If y'all are going to yell and scream at me, this interview is going to be over. Okay.
That's before you knew how they – that's just like a New Yorker talking. You didn't understand that back then.
I just hung up. I said, I'm done. Click. I told Frank Ramos, I said, never again. Don't ever put me on this show again in life. And that was it. But
you were back on
Frank,
the show.
Frank Ramos was our PR, a head PR guy of the New York Jets. He was handling the PR. And so it just was like, I'm never going back on that show again. I don't feel like getting screamed at.
Did you never go back on the show?
I might have gone on one other time, maybe later on or something like that, you know, softened it up a little bit, but not very many times, I promise you.
But, like, I also feel okay as an athlete. Like, what are you supposed to do, yell back? Like,
well, no,
it just turns into a lose-lose scenario. You know what I mean? How are you supposed to respond to that?
You got to remember, 30 years later, I'm laughing because it's funny as hell that they thought they could get me on the show and bully me, New York bully, you know, hotshot, board short wearing, West Coast guy, cool and calm and collective, Max, coming to New York. We're going to show him. I was like, say, man.
But, Keith, that was early in your experience in New York, right? Like,
yes,
looking back at it.
That was literally early.
Looking back at it, were they really yelling and berating you, or were they just kind of doing that New York thing and you took it that way?
Exactly what you just said. They are doing the New York thing, and I took it that way because coming from L.A., I'm getting interviewed by Jim Hill.
Fred right.
Rogan,
yeah.
Everything is calm. You know, everything is just like.
And it's also like a big fam out in LA. Yeah. LA media, it's like everyone's been there forever. In a certain way, it feels like a small town that way. Like the media know everyone in town loves the guys on the media. They love the athletes.
No, I love my New York guys. I love all those dudes, the Lynn Bermans of the world, the Steve Serby writers, Bob Glaubers, all them dudes.
Remember
I love
Bill Mazur?
Bill, all of
the
them.
Energy, yeah. Man. It's the man, energy all day, every day.
All of them, because they always are like, cool, I get it now. Like, but I'm 20-something years old. I'm coming from the West Coast. Man, I'm getting off the beach. I don't have time for this. Y'all get ready to kill my mood with the screaming and yelling. I just signed a $16 million contract. I don't have time for this.
Do you remember, Key, while we're on it, Jerry Girard?
Yes.
Jerry Girard was so good. He was on Channel 11 on WPIX back in the day. Jay, he was before all the Sports Center guys were cracking jokes all the time. And everything. He kind of like invented the genre in a way. He was, you know, he got a little 3 minutes of sports casting at the end of your local news. And Jerry Girard used to kill it. They're let me go down memory lane.
But
on
now
the great
New York I look at it, I got it now. It's New York. No problem.
It's just so funny as an athlete, man. How could you not take this stuff seriously? Like, how do you not take it personally? You know what I mean, Key? But if you're in your car. And you're driving to practice, and you just happen to turn on 98.7, or you happen to turn on one of these stations, and you hear somebody literally just letting their passion come out, but in a New York City type way. How do you not take that personal?
Oh, I took it personal because I had just got there. So I've never run from the media. It just never was my deal. I didn't have a problem with people saying negative things about me because if that's the way you feel that way. long as you don't put your hands on me. So I always would read the newspapers, listen to WFAN when I'm in my car after the games, hearing what they got to say. And now I laugh at it because I'm like, them dudes, that's just them. They can walk down the street going to get something to eat and screaming and hollering and yelling.
Yeah, right. It's not like they're coming out their face in a certain kind of way. It's just like saying hello or good morning. That's how we talk.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I could imagine the culture shock, because no one did it more than like Mike and the Mad, especially Chris. Especially Chris. He's kind of like, he's always at like out 100 just to say
what's
hello.
Damn coffee you had this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, we live on it. It's mother's milk to us in New York. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So another thing we love to do in New York, and this goes from at least since Steinbrenner bought the Yankees, right, is we like to count everyone's money. We like to know who, because, Key, it's a real, listen, what, you know, what's the industry in L.A.? It's popular culture, entertainment. Yeah, yeah. We export. Our number one export in this country is popular culture. That's the portal through which we do it, L.A. What's it in Vegas? It's gambling. What's it? You could point to different towns and say that's what it is there. In New York, Wall Street, I mean, there's lots. There's Broadway. There's this or that, but it's Wall Street, right? It's the money game. And Key, you were talking about something earlier in the show that we need to get back to. Because the Seahawks Pro Bowl linebacker Bobby Wagner is signing. I heard he was looking for a one-year, $11 million deal. He's getting a five-year, $50 million deal worth up to $65 with the Rams, according to Adam Schefter. He's staying in the NFC West. And here's the question on my mind as a New Yorker, Key. Where are the Rams getting all this money? Isn't there a salary cap? You keep saying there's no cap, but how are they able to? I mean, they let Von Miller go, but then they seem to give Stafford a new deal. This one gets a new Ramsey. You get a car, and you get a car. I mean, like, you know, and now 50. How's this happen?
Well, when you got deep pockets like Stan Kroenke, you could do that. And you kick the can down the road. You manipulate the salary cap. You look at the you look down the road to 23, 24, 25, where the television money and the salary cap will explode, and you project on those sort of things. And they got a great capologist in terms of doing that. A lot of teams don't have that. Plus, a lot of teams, Max, don't have deep pockets. And I know it sounds crazy. That when you say an NFL owner doesn't have deep pockets, well, not to the point where they're just going to be giving their money away. Okay, they own percentages of teams. Some of them are minority owners. Some of them are majority owners, and some don't have partners at all. And so Stan Kroenke doesn't need a partner. He's good. He can write the check any day of the week. David Tepper, Carolina Panthers, any day of the week. Jerry Jones wrote the check years ago. Got rid of his partners, and now just him and his family own the team, and he can spend money wildly like he chooses to. When you got other people like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they got partners. So they approach it a little bit differently.
Interesting, Keith.
The Las Vegas Raiders a little bit differently. The New York Jets and the New York Giants, they don't mind spending money in free agency or rewarding their players. They give out contracts and give out big guaranteed
money. Is
that
because the owners are more lit? Like you were talking about earlier in the show, it's fascinating to me. So, look, it's a league with a salary cap, and there's a minimum. Like, you can't spend less than, like, 90% of the maximum, right? So everyone's within 10%. What difference does it make? But what you seem to be saying is the more liquid an owner is, the deeper their pockets, the easier it is for them to maneuver, right? So
absolutely.
It does make a difference.
Because you can take and pay. Stephen Ross can pay Tyreek Hill $70-plus million in 24 months because he has the money on hand to do it. Stan Kroenke could build his own stadium for $5 billion. Think about what he just did, Max. He bought the land. He hired Jerry Jones and Jerry Jones' company, wrote the check for $5 billion, or at least committed to a $5 billion layout for a stadium. He didn't go to the city. He didn't go to people saying, let's raise taxes. He said, you know what? I want a stadium. Stroke the check. Because I can do that. Steve Ballmer, L.A. Clippers, I can write the check. Give me a new stadium. All right. In fact, I'll buy MSG Great Western Forum from you so I can build the stadium because I got that type of money.
And you're saying Johnson and Tisch, in the case of the Giants, really in terms of the money guy, these guys are liquid and deep-pocketed like that, right? They can just – they want to sign a guy. They put the money in escrow. They got the cash. Here's the guarantee. Done. We're done.
Look at teams. I want you to do the exercise when you're bored at home tonight and those who are listening to the radio. Just take a look at the teams that don't are not very active in free agency and like to shell out big money. The ones that don't is because they owners are not as flush, or they have multiple minority partners that they have to go to get approvals on what money to spend. When you think about the Green Bay Packers that don't have an owner, they're not active big in free agency. They got a lot of layers to go through to be able to shell out the money that when a normal owner like David Tepper is like, how much you need? You need another $400 million? Okay, call Stacy and she'll get it to you. No problem.
It's just crazy, Key, because even when you look at basketball, like a guy named Robert Parra is worth, you know, the owner of the Memphis Grizzlies. We were talking about yesterday with Brian Windhorst. You know, we're $16.1 billion. But you just, you know, in basketball, the salary cap, you go over that cap, you get taxed so much. It's just so interesting. It's like financing a car. You could put a lot of money down right away, and that's a way to kind of wiggle around the salary cap, Key, like you mentioned. Like, essentially, for Deshaun Watson, you put $230 million into escrow, right? And it just sits there and waits for him while you still have to fill out the rest of your roster.
Yeah, and that 230 is going to gain a little interest. That'll probably go back to the owner as that 230 sits there. Golden State Warriors in basketball, they got owners that got cash.
Joe Lake.
So they don't mind going over the luxury tax if they needed to. They didn't. It's like, okay, man, we got plenty of money. And that's the way you look at it.
Do you think that has anything to do? You mentioned the Steelers. When we look at that, and I thought it was a great move at first, go get Trubisky, right? It's a modest move, but it made sense. Now that Watson is in the division, I don't like it as much as I did when it was Baker in the division. But is that why Pittsburgh functions that way, Key? Not just like an old school, like good fundamental, you know, original football team, but is it because if Deshaun Watson's available, let's say they were so inclined to get him, even with the 22 civil cases and everything, that they don't have $230 million just to put in escrow just like that, right? Is that one of the reasons they go the Trubisky route?
You know, I don't know that that would be the reason, but they certainly shop more frugal in the free agent market than, let's say, some of the heavy hitters.
The Final Four is this weekend, and that's not the only champion that will be crowned. WrestleMania 38 in AT&T Stadium, Jerry's World. Hot ticket right now. Hot ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. And by the way, WrestleMania is like the Super Bowl. It's not like UFC, $10 billion, 56. It's one a year. I remember the first one. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Guys, we are joined now on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio by Charlotte Flair, six-time WWE SmackDown Women's Champion. Charlotte, thank you for joining us this morning. What's going on?
Thanks for having me.
So you're going to be the main event, first night of WrestleMania on Saturday, second time. You'll have main evented WrestleMania, right?
I know. It's crazy.
What's that like, being the headliner of the WWE's biggest event of the year?
I think for me, for Saturday, it's a bunch of things. I won the inaugural Raw Women's Championship here at WrestleMania 32, my first WrestleMania, and retired the Divas Championship. And then to see my career come full circle, come back to WrestleMania, the main event, wrestling Ronda Rousey. I don't know how it feels. I'm trying to hold all my emotions together. You know, I guess it'll hit me after. It hasn't hit me yet. I think just because I put so much pressure on myself.
Charlotte, do you feel like you approach the main event at WrestleMania differently than other events?
No, because I think that's what has gotten me so far. Like whether I'm on TV for a minute, 5 minutes, in a match or not, every second counts. And I always want to have the best segment on whatever show I'm on. So looking at things like, oh, well, it's the main event, or, oh, I'm not the main event. I approach everything with the same intensity.
Charlotte, you mentioned Ronda Rousey, and what's it like being in the ring with her?
One, I have so much respect for her. But two, what's it like? Well, you have someone with a legitimate background. So her instinct is second to none. And I think that's her biggest advantage.
So what was your reaction to hearing Triple H was retiring from in-ring action anyway, Charlotte?
It was a little hard to hear.
What about a minute hard?
Well, just because one, you know, I'm one of his NXT kids. Mm-hmm. I'm WWE homegrown. Like, I started at NXT with his, when he took FCW over and turned it into NXT, the developmental system, which turned into the third brand. And to know what his career means to him and to see that, you know, he's not going to wrestle again, and to know what that, I can't imagine what that feels like. I mean, he is this business. He's one of the greatest of all time. And you just never know when your career is going to be over. And he inspired a generation of talent today. Like, we are here because of characters like Triple H, and we want to be like him. So yeah, but most importantly, he's healthy, and I think we just pray for that every day.
Charlotte Flair, Queen of Wrestling, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So when you get ready to approach these main events and hyped up, and I just want to know from my own athlete mind, and you know you're getting ready to go to battle in this ring, and you got, I don't know, Jerry's World is going to seat 80,000 people, screaming fans. What's that feeling like as you come through the tunnel to enter the ropes and you just, you can't really see who's in the crowd, but you know that they're there. What's that feeling like?
So when I first started, I wasn't able to really pinpoint, like look into people's eyes. I was kind of like, don't fall, don't mess up. Where do I look? Look confident. But now I really do, when I'm walking down the ramp, take a moment to try to catch people, like look them directly in the eyes, because they'll remember that moment, you know? Especially on SmackDown, when I see little girls or little boys just like screaming over, and I'll look over at them and I'll give them a wink, and they're like, Mom, Dad. So it's not just a sea of people anymore. Now it's like, I can be in the moment versus, okay, breathe. Don't faint. Don't fall.
So I'm curious, what do you think is more difficult? Like having the main event of WrestleMania in Dallas, or like Key playing wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys?
Which one is what?
What do you think is more difficult?
I'd ask Key that.
The two of you. It's for both of you guys.
One just takes athleticism. The other takes athleticism, acting on the fly, controlling an audience.
Yeah, Charlotte, that's what I'm talking about.
Levels to it.
That's what I'm talking about, Charlotte.
Yeah, by the time this segment is over, time this segment is over, we're going to have Key in the WWE. Don't worry about it.
No, you will not have me anywhere near WWE and WWE anything else, because that stuff looked like it hurts, and I'm not touching.
But you played receiver for 11 years in the NFL.
Hey, Charlotte.
Yeah, but when you diving on concrete and having people hit you with chairs.
We get a lot of football players that come in here that just because you're a Division I athlete doesn't mean you have the grit to do what it takes here.
Exactly.
You have no off-season.
Exactly.
Talk to
Charlotte. Charlotte Flair, 6-time WWE SmackDown Women's Champion. I don't know if you know who you're talking to, but you are speaking to Keyshawn Johnson, 24th best receiver in the history of college football.
Don't listen to him, Charlotte. Okay. Don't listen to that.
I'm the 13-time women's champion, the most decorated woman in sports entertainment. Oh. That's who you're talking to.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Charlotte. Key, I hope you've learned a valuable lesson today, Key.
Hey, Charlotte, Max, you were born in North Carolina, right?
Charlotte, yes, sir.
Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina. So I have to ask you, I went to school at Duke. I played basketball at Duke. Duke and UNC meeting this weekend in the Final Four. Not sure if you follow basketball, but do you have any interest in the game?
Went to NC State. Lived on Chapel Hill's campus. Mm. I think it's more of a spectacle. It's like when you see, I don't know, like Georgia, Florida, Auburn, Alabama. I mean, I don't have a particular team that I want to win. I just know it's going to be exciting because the rivalry runs so deep.
Facts. Awesome.
Charlotte Flair, Queen of Wrestling, we thank you for joining us today, and best of
thanks,
luck
guys.
Saturday night.
Thanks, Charlotte.
I might get her to jump off the
I
top ropes.
I appreciate it, you guys.
Thanks.
Onto your head, Max.
Bye.
What did I do?
You tried to start something with me.
Well,
she answered the question that way.
I tried to get something going. It's true. Guilty.
Watch her pick you up right between your legs and drop you on your shoulder.
With a steel chair. By the way, I don't know why they keep those chairs under the ring. It just seems dangerous to me. It seems like it's a very convenient weapon to use. And if I were the WWE, I might want to keep those steel chairs backstage instead of right under the ring. It just feels to me like we'd have fewer of those incidents. Speaking of Duke UNC, 2001 national champion who says he was when he was in school, it wasn't even a rivalry.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Coach K is going for his 6th national championship this weekend in New Orleans, and two members of Coach K's 3rd title team caught up yesterday. Here's our very own J. Will with former teammate and Warriors assistant GM.
Mike D., my man, you had a chance to be in San Fran for the Elite Eight. Tell me what it was like to watch Duke cut down those nets. I mean, we did it a couple of times together, but how was it to see Coach K do it in his last hurrah?
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like a special ride. Obviously, we were down there for the game against Carolina, which didn't go so well, although it was a great weekend and, you know, great celebration. So these last few weeks have been, you know, pretty exciting for us to kind of, for the Duke team to pull it together and start playing well. And the San Francisco crowd was great. The Bay Area came out pretty strong in support of the Duke people. And, you know, just seeing Coach cut down those nets with those young guys. I mean, I think there's a sense of everything from excitement to joy to relief. And it, you know, as you mentioned, it brought back memories.
So I had a moment during the Duke Carolina game where I was jumping up and down yelling, and I turned around and you had your hand on your chin as if you were surely there to evaluate talent. And then I realized, I was like, oh yeah, Mike D is part of the front office for the Golden State Warriors. And I'm curious, what have you seen from a player perspective, from an evaluation perspective, from where this Duke team was in the middle of the season compared to where they are now?
Yeah, I mean, the talent's always been there. I think just in general, the growth, it's kind of coming together. They're figuring out how to play with each other. You know, and so the talent was really never a question. It was just, how does the whole thing fit? And that goes into, you know, coaching and practice and all that. And clearly the staff there has done a great job, and they put themselves in a position here this weekend where they got a chance to do something special.
You know, I can't believe I never even asked you this question. I mean, we've only known each other since we were 16 years old, but how the hell did you even end up going to Duke? How was Coach K during that process?
Well, he told me you were going there, so I was like, oh, I got to
get out of here. Lies. Lies.
No, honestly, you know, just probably like yourself, evaluated, you know, a bunch of universities and schools are recruiting me, and took a visit and visited a bunch of other schools, including Carolina, and had some great choices. But ultimately, I think, you know, my relationship with Coach K was huge during the process, and just the opportunity to go to, you know, a school with a global brand like Duke. It's you know, people attend from all over the world, and it's just such a special school that I felt academically and athletically it was the right fit for me.
It's crazy that these two teams have never even met in the NCAA tournament, but tell me about how important and how significant this game will feel on this type of stage in the Final Four.
I imagine it's a little bit like our game against Maryland. We played them in the Final Four in the semis, having had played them three times earlier in the year, knowing them so well. It's pretty rare to meet, I think, a conference opponent in the Final Four, but here we are. You know, these teams know each other really well, so there'll be no surprises. And, you know, I think, you know, frankly, Duke's the better team, the more talented team. If they play well, they'll win. But, you know, it's a one and done scenario, and Carolina's got a lot of confidence, and they'll play well too.
All right, Mike, give it to me. Your favorite Duke UNC moment.
Well, everybody talks about the rivalry, but you know, when we were there, let's be honest, the rivalry was probably more with Maryland. I think, what were we, like 7 or 8-1 against those guys? We were there, so it wasn't much of a rivalry. But I think my favorite moment was, you know, our sophomore year going into Carolina after Carlos got hurt and everybody thought our season was over. Going there, get the win, and it kind of propelled us to go on to win the national championship. And so winning over there was a lot of fun and probably a memory I'll remember the most.
Every time I see your brother on TV, I start laughing to myself because I've known Baker since he was a little kid, and now he's a grown man and the head coach of Quinnipiac. But I know he went to Villanova and he coached under Jay Wright for a long time. So I have to ask you, what do you think it'll be like if your little brother's former school and your former school meet in the national championship game?
Well, we know, I mean, it'll be a little divided, but I think we know where my allegiances are. So I'll be pulling for Duke. Villanova is obviously a great school. They built an amazing program. You know, my brother went to school there and played, you know, walked on the team there, and this is a big part of the program. But, you know, there's not a lot of indecision on my end. I'll be pulling pretty hard for Coach K and Duke.
All right, last question for you, Mike. Better three-point shooter, you or J.J. Redick?
Oh, boy, that is a good question. J.J. made a lot of threes, man, in college and the pros. But, you know, I'll
say— Toot your own horn, Mike. Toot your own horn.
I'm pretty confident in my abilities, but— You know, JJ's had a great career. I don't know. You guys are going to have to pick that one.
I appreciate you, brother. Always a pleasure to have you rock out with us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, dude.
So who was the better shooter, Jay?
I think JJ Redd might have got it. But, you know, Mike came into college 6'3". Just FYI. Mike came into college 6'3", 6'4". By the time Mike left college our junior year, Mike was 6'10 and a half, 6'11". He had that much of a growth spurt over the time.
That's insane.
The dude went from, like, he had point guard skills, and then he went to being a power forward with
that's
point guard skills.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. Did they switch his position?
But we were laughing about this during the interview. Like, our record against Carolina was 7-2. Like, we dominated Carolina. That wasn't our rival. Our rival was against Maryland. We saw Maryland my sophomore year 4 times throughout the season. We saw them 2 times in the regular season, 3 times in the ACC tournament, ACC championship, and then we saw them again in the Final Four when we were down 22 points. But when you think about it, you know, I was recruited by Dean Smith. He retired in 97. And then that's when Bill Guthridge took over, Key. And Bill Guthridge was head coach from 97 until 99, 2000.
You weren't fooling with that.
And then when Matt Doherty took over, that was during the time that we were playing against Carolina. We were just running them into the ground. And then Roy Williams came on the scene in 2003. And that's when North Carolina.
What did he do, Jay? How did he do it? How did Roy Williams take it to the next level?
And he got killed for this because a lot of my friends in North Carolina fans, they'll always be angry about the fact that Carolina didn't have a lot of top 15 draft picks. Key, how many top 10?
I remember 10, he went through that little bit of spurt where he wasn't really producing the NBA guys like that.
How many top 10 NBA draft picks do you think North Carolina has had at their program since 2012? Key, take a quick guess.
Probably three.
One.
One.
One, where Duke has had 10.
That works for North Carolina, though, right?
Because but why? Let me ask you this, though, Jay. Why, though? What is it?
Because
is
Roy was recruiting for guys that weren't the top-tier guys. he was recruiting for guys that he could build a program with, guys that would stay 2, 3, 4 years.
Might make the league, but maybe in the second round, maybe out of the G League, something like that. But
then Coach K, those type of players.
But then Coach K flipped the script because he wasn't dealing with one and done type dudes before, though, right?
Exactly, Key. And then Coach K went with the one and dones. But like it was the way Roy took a different recruiting style, which it's paid dividends. I mean, think about this team for Hubert. There's been nobody on this team that has made it to the NCAA tournament with the exception of one player in Brady Manek. And now they're in the Final Four. But look what they're doing. 2, 3, 4 year guys. Whereas Duke, the team that plays most, they're freshmen and sophomores.
It's almost like international competition when Team USA doesn't fare well. It's because you look, they have this guy and that guy. And you're like, yeah, but that's like one all-star, that's a starter and a bench player in the NBA. Why are they beating us or even competing with us? Because they've been playing together for years and years and years on the national team, and we're throwing a bunch of extremely talented guys together, but not as much of a team.
Think about the last team that won it for Duke and Coach K, 2015. I mean, you're talking about an old team. You're talking about a veteran-led team.
It's ridiculous to suggest that anything would tarnish Coach K's legacy. He just got to the Final Four at least in his final season coaching. But there is pressure because it's UNC. What legacy could a UNC win have? What legacy would it leave a UNC win in the Final Four, retiring Coach K?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Close to the edge.
See, Melly Mel was my dude when I was a little kid. Loved Melly Mel.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Did it hit on the West Coast, though? Because if Melly Mel wasn't this play, hit.
This played because of the movies, the breaking and all that sort of stuff. Uh-huh. The movies. What was the movies back then, Max?
Yeah, it was Beat Street. Breaking,
Beat Street, Breaking 2. Yeah, that's
Crush Groove.
Yeah. Crush Groove, yeah. So it hit.
Key, I had an old school box, right? Like, with the double tape cassette thing.
Heavier than you.
Let me tell you something. I used to, Melly Mel would come on the radio, and I'd hit play and record at the same time to record it, right, so I wouldn't have to buy the tape. And then the play button would snap. So now I got to hold it down, but it would sometimes slip. So I'd get like, I didn't know half the lyrics. So anyway, appearing on the NBA Hall of Famer Kevin Garnett's KG certified podcast. I love this. Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf. Guys, listen to what he said his diet is. This is what DK Metcalf, who has like the best physique in the world, claims this is his diet.
I'm a candy type person.
Oh, what?
I eat one meal a day, drink one coffee, and eat like 3-4 bags of candy.
What?
He described it as waking up. He does this. He has a cup of coffee. He works out. He drinks some water. Then it's basically one big meal at dinner, and the rest of it's bags of candy.
Key,
is that possible?
24 years old.
Yeah, I guess now that I've heard it, I guess you can eat one big meal a day, drink some coffee. If you eat one big meal a day, you're not hungry. You can eat on nuts and stuff like that and be cool.
You certainly can.
This goes back to my point I was trying to share with you guys before.
No, you certainly
can. Guys are aliens, Key. Like, even watching you in college, alien, man. You look at it, he's 24 years old. He can eat that way and still be at
Here's my
epitome.
Question. Here's my question. You can only metabolize, like, let's say 35 grams of protein, like, in a meal, and then the rest is waste, right? So how is he able to look that way, even let alone perform that way, when the rest of his diet's sugar and caffeine?
Man, when I played, I barely would eat too. Now that I'm thinking, I would eat junk. Like I would literally eat Burger King and a cheeseburger from Burger King.
Still, it's protein.
Fries.
It's protein.
Yeah, but it's like
stuff.
Gross.
That's
you can't do that. Gross.
It's still protein. It's not just pure sugar and caffeine.
Taco Bell.
You can't do it.
That's still protein.
You can't do it. Eating Taco Bell. I mean, like, come on.
I don't understand, man. Some people are just
still
different.
Running 4 flat. You're like, what? Yeah. What the hell is going on?
I'm watching what I eat. I still got love handles and stuff, man.
Well, you need to start training and actually work out.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. We're
go in the
seconds.
Gym, not walk by the gym.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You voted at KJ and Max on Twitter, and we listen. It's time for Choose Your Own Adventure.
What should we talk about? It's 9:45 a.m. Eastern segment. What should we talk about? Okay, DK Metcalf's diet got almost 20% of the vote.
The final four.
NFL over-unders got 17. WrestleMania got 26.5, but the final four, 36.5. It is clearly, Jay, the final four.
Key, you pulling for my boys, Key? I can barely talk this week.
I'd like to see Coach K win just because I think it would be a great story. And as I always say, good things happen to guys like that. And you could just tell it's set up perfect for it to be a storybook ending, to lead SportsCenter, to do – I mean, it's just set up perfect. It's set up perfect. There's no way at the start of the season or even in the middle of the season that you thought that Duke would be in the Final Four.
No way.
You know, I hate to say it, guys. No one's picking this one team at all. No one is, and it would be so like them to upset the apple cart, Villanova. Like, wouldn't it be so like them?
Well, Villanova just lost their second best player to, they had a little bit of an Achilles heel issue, Justin Moore. So that's a huge.
Huge.
And then I like to see Villy too because of Jay Wright. I don't, for some reason, Jay, I don't like, I ain't never liked Kansas, no matter who was coaching there. Bill Seth, Roy Williams. I've never been a Kansas fan like that, because it feels like to me they never finished the day, almost like Gonzaga. They never finished the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right or wrong?
I feel the same way. By the way, Duke finishes the deal, and if Coach K, like, I can't believe what's at stake in this game. You can't get bounced by UNC for the last game in your career, or you could get to the finals by beating UNC. It couldn't have played out any better. This is insane. Mike Dunleavy Jr. spoke to Jay. You heard it moments ago on this show on the Duke-UNC rivalry.
You know, when we were there, let's be honest, the rivalry was probably more with Maryland. We were 7 or 8-1 against those guys? We were there, so it wasn't much of a rivalry. But I think my favorite moment was, our sophomore year going into Carolina after Carlos got hurt and everybody thought our season was over. Going there, get the win, it kind of propelled us to go on to win the national championship. And so winning over there was a lot of fun and probably a memory I'll remember the most.
Man, he just dissed him. Well, we smacked, whatever.
We smacked. I got to tell you, though, like, that was during the Matt Doherty years. That's when they had – I mean, Key, here's a reference. Julius Peppers was a starter on their team.
Oh, well, come on, man. He's a football player.
Well, but Julius Peppers could hoop, man. He set a screen on my ass one time. And I was like, yo, get away from me, man. But like that goes to show you where they were as a basketball program. Brendan Haywood, Chris Lang, Julius Peppers, guys like that. But Roy Williams really took this program to the next level. And there are a lot of questions around whether Hubert was really going to be the guy. Like a lot of North Carolina fans are like, can he recruit? Does he bring that same kind of passion, that same kind of fire that Roy brought to the table? And look at him in his first year. He's taking the Tar Heels to the Final Four.
Man, if he could succeed, you know, like when you think about, I know it's not exactly in a row, but Dean Smith.
Give this man a raise.
Roy Williams.
If he ends Coach K's career.
Oh my God.
In his first year as the head coach of North Carolina.
Oh my God.
They're going to redo his deal. If he win it all, they for sure going to give him a raise. If he make it to the final, they're going to give him a raise. It's, you know, coaches, you know how that go. I did this. Let me go back in.
Just saying, it's one hell of a stamp to have on your resume.
You know, I can't believe it doesn't even seem real that the stakes could be this high and the drama this great. Like, it's playing out. This is the dream matchup,
this
Duke
is a movie,
UNC.
Man.
It's like they never have met ever in the tournament ever since the dawn of the universe ever. And then they do it in Coach K's final season in the Final Four.
So I said it perfect. I think it's the biggest game in college basketball history.
When you first said that, I thought, no, it can't be. But the more I think about it, what are the candidates? I mean, it's way up toward the top. If it's not number one, you have a hell of an argument that it is number one.
It's just, I mean, the thought that North Carolina could be the one school that can end Coach K's sixth opportunity to get a championship.
And then the other thing is, I know, like five, six, what's the difference? Six championships. Like Wooden has so many, but it was BC, right?
But then think about it.
This is the modern era.
We've also had this conversation about who's next in line. Let's say hypothetically Jay Wright wins.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Wright wins.
That'd be three.
He's had three.
Yep.
Like he'll be the only active coach with three.
Yep.
And Coach K retires.
It's almost like Tom Brady toward the end, like against Patrick Mahomes. And we don't know if it's even toward the end with Brady yet. But yeah, you're right. Big difference. Like if it's 6-2 versus 5-3 and the other dude's still going, who knows? But 6-2, that ship is probably
so
sailed.
Jay Wright, if he wins it, because Coach K will be gone, Jay Wright. Boeheim's out. How many Bill Seth? How many does he
Bill
have?
Has
any?
One.
One. So he's away. Bill won it.
Yeah, but I just mean like Jay Wright. Like if it's five, if Jay Wright's sitting on three, and Coach K ended his career with five. Jay Wright has a chance to catch him.
Oh
but
yeah.
If Coach K got six, and Jay Wright's sitting on two, good luck. Like there's so much at stake.
Six will put you a little bit of a distance.
Jay Wright probably has another good 10, 15 years, maybe. Like he's only 60.
He's only 15.
But yeah, but even if it's 10 or even if it's 10, 12, 15 Man, years, you're going to win the title
that's
every other year.
75 trying to recruit.
I mean, but if he has three and Coach K has five. Coach K.
Coach
K's 75 years old.
No, 5-3, he might catch him. 6-2, I'm saying. Like, so there's you got to fend off UNC.
Yeah, 6-2 is a bit of a you're pulling away at that point.
No, it's like Brady and Mahomes.
Yes.
Yeah, but college no, but that's
well, I'm
so
saying,
different.
But Brady was sitting on what was it at the time? Five?
No,
no it was six. He it was six, and Mahomes had one.
Six, yeah.
But if he's still at six, still and Mahomes at two
six,
all of a sudden.
And, six and one yeah, is yeah. still in yeah, the NFL. More. That's a long ways away.
The college basketball season's winding down, and that means we turn our attention to the Wendy's Wooden Watch. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award nominees to watch as this season rolls on. The finalists were named this week, including Johnny Davis, Keegan Murray, Drew Timmy, and the favorite to win Kentucky's Oscar Chibwe. We went through that one before.
Jason, who are you going to select? And
stop.
Oh, we have Coach K on the show with
stop.
Us. This is an amazing get.
I can't. Every time I hear Coach K calls, I just see Key.
The Wooden Watch is brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast, the official breakfast of March Madness. And I've got a Wooden Award winner right next to me.
I saw one.
That's right. Take the Duke UNC game out, Jay. Let's just take that out. Who's Duke going to be playing on Monday? So I don't make you.
I can't do it.
Who will they be playing?
Nope.
Okay. Who will the winner of Duke UNC be playing?
I'm taking Kansas. I think Kansas is the better defensive team. And the loss of Justin Moore really does hurt Villanova. And I just with the guys they have, I think Bill Self gets to a national championship game. He gets him there.
We taught you not to do that. We just concentrate on the game in front of you.
That's right.
This is quite a thing to have a Coach K J Will reunion right here on the air.
Coach, anything you want to Coach, anything you want to tell us before
right
we
before
go
the
into
final
the national,
four? Yeah,
yeah, final four.
We're not that good, and our young players have certainly stepped up to the plate for us. And I remember when we had Shane and Jason and Boozer playing with us, and we're going to be all right. We just got to continue to just keep playing hard.
It's the nasally thing you do with the nose. That's
what do you mean, you? Don't talk to Coach K that way. Jay, how dare you? That Jay was your tried, coach. I know you tried to fight him once, but that's still your coach.
Max, yeah. He tried to fight his head coach. He physically went after him and attacked his head coach.
Key, I've seen videos and pictures of you and John Gruden.
But that ain't, I don't care.
Keyshawn,
J.
Will, and Max Greeny's coming up in a matter of moments. We're back Monday, 6 a.m.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.